I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Hey, Marissa, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you down in Virginia?
I am in Virginia. I'm doing terrific. And we already will warn our listeners that there may be some strange sounds because I'm in kind of an all-glass conference room, and there's maintenance men working around here at this university. And so who knows? They may have conversations. I'm hoping we don't hear like a pneumatic hammer start, but it is what it is.
Yep, it is what it is.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm good.
That's good. Now, at the time that we're recording this, because we're doing it ahead, you still have not had your baby. But yeah. I had some listeners come up to me this week and say, hey, has Marissa had her baby yet? And I said, nope, not yet.
No. So. Well, definitely by the time this airs.
You will have.
I will have. So, yes, we're getting real close.
But I thought it was interesting that I had people come up and ask me, hey, has Marissa had her baby? So clearly we have listeners that are anxious to find out about the new baby. So.
I appreciate their excitement. I really do. That's great.
That's good. Good. So today we're going to talk about success and how to influence it.
Right.
So I'm going to throw you one of my curveballs right now. So okay. What did you think when I first sent you that blog post? Were you surprised by it? Because we hadn't talked about what I would write about.
You know, I wasn't too surprised because I thought, you know, we had been talking about fulfillment recently and, you know, how it's connected to happiness and it's connected to success, but not, you know, defined by those two things.
Sure.
So I had a feeling that maybe something about happiness or something about success might be
okay
in the front of your mind. But, you know, it was interesting to me reading through some of the points that you make.
And I don't really know what, I think there probably was this common theme that must have been going through my head. But one of the things that I do is I have a note in my Evernote app where when I have ideas of something to write on, I'll just make a note.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was one that I wrote down probably a year and a half ago, and it just seemed to fit when we got to this point. So really the blog post, the way it reads is that, you know, a lot of times we wonder what is the difference between success and failure? What is the difference between, you know, some people that are really successful and other people that just kind of get bogged down and get mired in things over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is it's our attitude. It really boils down to that more than anything else. Our attitude depends our success is dependent upon our attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because like we've said in the past, there's, you know, you can't change what happens to you. You can only change how you respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this, this list that had, you know, five or six items on it that how attitude affected our life and our success. But one of the examples that I use, and so I figured I would use two, in our post, and then you and I can talk about more, but the two that I used, in specifically in the post was, you know, often our attitude is the only difference between success and failure. And it was Henry Ford that said, failure is an opportunity to begin again more intelligently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really great. And a lot of people don't know that Henry Ford went bankrupt twice before the Ford Motor Company caught on. And the other thing that I find fascinating was that Ford was the only U.S. auto manufacturer that didn't need a federal bailout in 2008.
Yeah, that's astounding. So I never knew that until I read this.
It is. And really what happened was, so Alan Mulally was the CEO from Boeing who went to Ford, I'm not sure in what year, but clearly before 2008. For some reason, I still think it was the early 2000s. And he had a read on what was happening in the automotive markets and in the world financial markets. And he just had a concern that they were going to need a lot of cash. And he basically stacked cash away and borrowed as much as he could from commercial lending institutions. One report I heard, and I don't remember where I heard it, but that he even borrowed against the logo, the Ford Oval,
wow.
You know, just to have the cash available that was needed to withstand that. And to me, that's always been great that they didn't need that bailout.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another interesting fact that I didn't write about, but I'll let our listeners know about. So Ford Motor Company almost went bankrupt when it started. And what happened was, so Henry has two failed business ventures to get the car company started. He gets it going and he's running out of cash again. He's considering, you know, is this another time I have to file for bankruptcy? But he had a transmission manufacturing place. So there was a company building transmissions for him for the Model A's. And they had so much product in his facility and he owed them so much money that there was no way they could let him go under or they wouldn't get paid. Mm-hmm. So they extended him credit to be able to keep going. And the interesting thing is that the transmission company was the Dodge Brothers Machine Works. So the Dodge brothers that started Dodge Motor Car actually bailed out Ford before starting to build cars on their own.
Wow.
So that's just a little crazy anecdotal piece. And really the only reason that I learned that was that one of the Dodge sons, might have been Horace Dodge, also loved wooden boats. Big surprise, right? and so they built wooden boats for a while as well, Dodge boats. Mm-hmm. And in some of my research into the Dodge boats, I learned that before building cars, they built transmissions and they bailed out Ford. So really, attitude is a huge piece.
Right.
In it.
Right. Because they had, a lot of opportunities to fail. But the difference was they had a different attitude that has kept them successful for many
years.
And
our attitude is a choice.
Right.
You know, nobody can make you feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. You have to either agree to it or disagree with it.
Right.
And you just have to choose. I'm not going down that path. Mm-hmm. So have you ever thought about ways that you can maintain a positive attitude?
It's funny because I was thinking about that today. As we've mentioned, I'm about to have two little girls running around. So
right.
I was thinking, how am I going to make sure that my attitude is in the right place. And, when things get crazy over here.
Which they will.
So, I think it's really just, like you said, it's a choice. So when you start to, we all have an ability to sense when we're starting to heat up or our heart starts to race or we might start physically feeling warm or upset and just kind of acknowledging that and then deciding to change it. So whether it be you take your mind to a place of gratitude. So if you're in a situation where you're starting to feel negative in a complaining way or an overwhelmed way, finding something to be grateful for in the situation can help change your attitude, surrounding yourself with people who have a positive attitude, or having someone who can talk you down. Just whether it be a friend or your spouse or a parent, whoever, I think that can make a big difference.
Yeah.
And I think just being aware too, the general awareness of trying to have a positive attitude is helpful as well.
Yeah, that's huge. And that whole awareness piece, sometimes we try to dismiss a bad attitude.
Right.
And I had a couple instances this week. So most of the folks know that every summer I go to this conference that my church denomination puts on. And I have some responsibilities here. And so there's all kinds of things that are pushing buttons from day to day, if you can call it that. And I don't even remember exactly what the incident was. And it happened yesterday. I know what it was. I got called into a meeting. And I was going to be in a meeting for an hour and a half. And it was just one of those very, very frustrating, difficult type of meetings. And one of the things that I did was, I come out of the meeting and I just have a miserable attitude. And I had shared with you before we started recording that I have some responsibilities that are actually going to take place this evening, where I'm going to be speaking in front of a lot of people. It's live streamed to several countries, and I can't, I have to be on my game, if I can call it that. I can't be distracted, especially as I start thinking about what I'm going to say. And all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, you just wrote this article, this blog post about attitude, and identify the attitude. And so I started thinking, okay, why do I feel stressed? Why do I feel down? And literally process it through. And all of a sudden I was realizing this was stupid. This wasn't anything to be worked up about. So that, again, that awareness is the key. Literally identifying how am I feeling and why am I feeling that way? Mm-hmm. And that's the first step to fixing our attitude. And sometimes just reminding ourselves that nobody can give you a bad attitude. You give it to yourself.
Yeah. I always remember as a kid, so my mom is a marriage and family therapist. And mm-hmm. she did her master's degree in that when I was in middle school. So it was a really interesting time. And I would always, I say, you're making me so mad, or you're making me angry, or whatever. Cause I was a middle school girl, and mm-hmm. I remember her comeback was always, you can be the only one to make yourself feel that way. I can't make you feel that way.
Right.
And at the time, it just made my head explode as a middle school student. But now I totally get it. And I can hear her every time I'm falling into that, I'm the victim, or I'm going to have a bad attitude because it's not in my control. I can hear it in the back of my head. No one can make you feel that way except yourself. And like that, it's like something snaps in me and I change my attitude because I'm reminded that.
Right.
You can't go that way. You have to remain positive.
Exactly. And that actually leads me right into what my second thing about our attitude, that our attitude affects in our life, that I wrote about, was our relationships with people. Mm-hmm. So your mom was so wise. You're starting to go off like a typical middle school age person would. Mm-hmm. And your mom just says, don't be blaming me for this one. You're allowing yourself to get this way. And I remember hearing this once where a person said, the way a person treats you shouldn't determine how you treat them. Mm-hmm. And wow, what a powerful thing, because it's so freeing if you think about that.
Right.
So think about, times when you are really, really upset with a person. Maybe they have wronged you, they've talked about you, whatever mm-hmm. it might be. How much energy goes into that? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting. There was... my dad used to tell me this story when I was young, that growing up, there was an old preacher in a church that he attended that had a German background and a German accent and was educated. Well, he probably grew up in Germany. And he was one of the ministers in the church that our denomination has in Ohio. And he was trying to say, that it's really tough to carry a grudge. But mm-hmm. he didn't know it was grudge. He thought it was grouch. And so he basically said, carrying a grouch is really heavy.
Yeah.
And you think you're carrying around yourself in a grumpy, grouchy mood. That's mm-hmm. that takes too much energy. So the best thing for us to do is to let go of those feelings, recognize them, understand where they're coming from, and let it go. Because the sooner we can do that, so really what happens when we get stressed? We've talked about that in the past. Our heart rate goes up, our respiration increases, our brain goes into a fight or flight type of thing. And we're not innovative. We're just overly frustrated about these emotions. Mm-hmm. Get rid of them.
Yeah.
Journal them, write them down.
It's exhausting to carry that around.
It is.
It is. Mentally, it's just mentally exhausting. And I'm sure it's got all kinds of negative health impacts.
Absolutely. Clearly, I mean, we know our blood pressure goes up, our heart rates go up, our respiration becomes erratic. Clearly, we're in bad shape when we get to that point. Conversely, when we feel good, mm-hmm. when we're happy, when we're smiling, we really need to, or it gives our bodies so many of those positive, chemicals in our brain that get us going mm-hmm. and really help us be creative. Our attitude, so I talked about there were five or six, and I shared that list with you, so you can pick some and I'll pick some, but it really, our attitude determines our approach to life. Mm-hmm. Do we have an abundance mindset or a scarcity mindset? If we have a scarcity mindset, we're going to always be worried that we're going to run out of something. But if we have an abundance mindset, it's like, no, I have enough energy to be friends with a lot of people. I shouldn't be, you know, turning my back on people that are in need, mm-hmm. but be helping people and not worrying about, you know, what's going to happen 30 years from now. That's not my problem. My problem is today.
Right.
So again, that positive mindset dramatically changes our approach to life. I think about, and I talk about this in the No Limits training that I do, where I put up a picture of the near west side of Syracuse, you know, and first I ask people, so what's Syracuse like? Now, our listeners know that I am passionate about Syracuse and Central New York. I think it's an amazing place to live. But if we would go to some of those lower income areas on the near west side and ask them what's their view of Syracuse, it might be completely different from mine. Mm-hmm. Because that's all they know.
Right.
You know, and yet if we could get them to see a bigger part, a different part of life, their attitude could change as well. Mm-hmm. So as you looked at those, were there any of them that jumped out at you?
I liked that our attitude at the beginning of the task will affect its outcome more than anything
else. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. What do you like about that?
I just think that's really important to keep in mind. Oftentimes we do the opposite. We end mm-hmm. up dreading something. I think we talked about this a week or two ago.
Right.
About how you used to dread going on Tuesday evenings to sing with your church members.
But, right.
And then you do so you would dread it. And then while there, your attitude would change and it would end up being positive. That's probably the typical route most of us take in a lot of things in life. But
yeah,
if we can have that positive attitude at the beginning, imagine right. how you'll feel at the end.
Everything improves.
Everything, yeah.
Everything improves. Mm-hmm. And so maybe we need to jump into how do we improve our attitude? Mm-hmm. One of the tips that I dug up, stretch yourself past your limits every day. And I found that one interesting, but if I think about it, if I'm stretching every day, I'm growing.
Yep.
If I'm trying something new that I hadn't tried every day, I'm getting better, I'm getting brighter, I'm learning things, I'm getting stronger just because I'm doing something new and energizing. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was huge.
And to piggyback on that, one of the other things that I think, you know, that's on our list here is to forgive the limitations of others.
Right.
Because again, that's out of your control. And it's one of those things that, again, it's just heavy and exhausting if you can't forgive and right. accept the limitations right. of others.
And, you know, we don't know what's going on in that person's life at that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the person was rude to us. Maybe the person didn't hold a door for us. Maybe the person cut us off as we're going to work. Well, maybe they're rushing to the hospital because they just heard the loved one was in the ER.
Right.
We really don't know. And so by presuming that we do, we hurt ourselves. So just forgive people and just realize, you know what? Maybe they don't know any better. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can't help it. That type of thing. When you looked at this list, was there one that you thought was the hardest to accept?
Hmm.
Another one of these curveballs that I throw you. That our listeners say they can tell when I do that.
It's like same. I made notes of the ones that I thought were really important, but I didn't necessarily think about which I thought would be, you said, the most difficult.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm looking at one. I'm looking at the list now. There's one that I think you might find to be the most difficult, but maybe not.
Wake up early every day.
You got it. Wake up early every day.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Actually, it's funny because when I saw that, I was like, why? I was like, why is this on the list?
And I forgot what publication I pulled that one out of.
No, but I do agree with that. And I think I've shared that one of our goals this summer is to live more and to sure. Really extend our summer that way by living intentionally. And
sure.
So that we've been doing that on the weekends. Not that we ever really slept late, you know, for me, like 7:30 is a late wake up, but we've been waking up early on the weekends too. And
good.
It has made a difference. And I think it's definitely changed our attitude towards how we look at the weekends. It used to be like, right, okay, we're, you know, we're up kind of late. We probably should have gotten, you know, you kind of start in that bummed feeling. Like, I should have gotten up earlier. And then it's chores, 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 errands, errands, errands. Well, we've really changed that. And so now by waking up early, I definitely have noticed that we feel like we've accomplished so much by the time noon rolls around.
Yeah.
And we're doing lots of, you know, a lot of fun stuff and spending time outside. And so I will agree that that does belong on the list.
Good. So what were some of your favorites off that list?
Be grateful was one that I have circled. And kind of also on the list is say please and thank you more frequently. And again, I think that is linked to gratitude.
Right.
So when you can, you know, be grateful, I think I've mentioned before, you know, dishes, dirty dishes in the sink means that you have food to put on the table. So
exactly.
Instead of complaining about the dishes, be grateful that you can, you know, feed your family every night and the dishes are a result of that. So
exactly. And, you know, those things are so easy to just reflect, be grateful, keep a gratitude journal, the please and thank yous. Mm-hmm. It is so easy and it startles people. You know,
it does.
You know I love Chick-fil-A, and, mm-hmm. and it was so cool that when we did our strategic planning session, we had them cater it. Mm-hmm. But what I love going to, why one of the reasons why I love going to Chick-fil-A is the service. Mm-hmm. It is incredible. And every time you ask them something and you say thank you, they say my pleasure.
Wow.
It just, that little extra bit of, it just makes all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is their food good? Yes. Is it the best chicken fast food I've had? No. But it's good. But the atmosphere, the culture in there is beyond what you would ever expect. Mm-hmm. So it's, again, that please and thank you.
Well, look how successful Chick-fil-A
yes.
is. So
Chick-fil-A is hugely successful. But the only one that I know of that is still growing and growing rapidly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had circled also seek out those who share your positive attitude, because I think that's really important.
Oh, good. Yeah.
If you have a friend or family member who's just dragging you down, it makes it really hard to be positive. And again, it's one of those draining activities when, you know, if you have someone who calls you every week and just complains.
Whines and complains. Yeah, yep.
You know, and I've been there. I mean, there was a time when my sister told me, she's like, you know, I can't talk to you right now because you're being too negative and you're she said that I was killing her vibe or something like that.
Wow.
So I remember that, and she was right. And it reminded me that I had to change my attitude. So
sure. My wife just did that for me just this morning. Mm-hmm. And there was, again, so I was, something occurred. And one of the reasons is because I have some responsibilities here. It's, you know, like, you would think that when you go on a quasi-vacation, you don't have to have a leadership responsibility, but I can't get away from it here. And I was really struggling with something about something that happened. And my wife just leaned over to me and she just said, just sharpening the saw, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what challenges do for us. They sharpen our saw. And I just, it was so great. Well, you know, and our listeners know that I could not imagine life without her because of how the positive attitude that she has much of the time. I can't say all the time, but, you know, 95% of the time she has a positive attitude and she's helping me through that. Mm-hmm. So I'm blessed to have her in my life. One of the ones I loved here is don't take yourself so seriously.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not laughing, you might as well laugh at yourself because everybody else is. So enjoy it. And use setbacks to improve your skills. To me, that was a huge one because you learn much faster from failures than you do from success.
Right. That's very true.
And I think you and I've talked about this, and I shared it with somebody just this week that, you know, I don't want to listen to somebody who sits there and tells me how good they are. I want to listen for somebody that says, you know, let me tell you how I screwed up. Mm-hmm. And what I learned from it. Because that person is approachable.
Right. They're relatable.
Because we all can relate to failures. But, you know, it's awful tough to be working with somebody or trying to be led by somebody who is always winning. Because mm-hmm. you know it isn't true. Mm-hmm. What else was on this list? Live in the present. I think we might have talked about that.
Not comparing yourself to others.
Yes, yeah, and looking for the best in every situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I really want to work on. And when I had to turn in my goals for this quarter of our fiscal year, one of them was that I really want to try to focus on finding a positive in every situation. It's going to be a challenge because I'm not always as positive as I'd like to be. That's one of my projects. I think I touched on this a little bit, but again, identifying why you're at it, what attitude needs changing, assess why you want to improve your attitude. So is there a reason? And so one of my reasons for needing to fix my attitude this week was a responsibility to speak in front of a large number of people, and they deserve to get my best,
Right.
not half. So I have to make sure that I get that attitude fixed. And if we think about it, shouldn't that be our objective always? Everybody deserves our best, not what's left. People at work, people in the community, but really especially the people at home.
Right.
And I really think that the journaling to facilitate self-reflection is huge. And I've added, I think I've mentioned this, I've added a line in, so I'm not a really good free-form journaling kind of person. So I answer questions daily. And one of them was, what am I feeling right now? And that's really helping me. So we got the greatest contributor to our success in life really is our attitude.
Yeah,
How's that? We
that's
went
good.
through that one pretty
We
quick.
did.
Well, I guess not. Now I just looked at the time and we're at 26 minutes, 27 minutes. So maybe the time just flew by.
There's a lot on this topic, though. I mean, if
There
anyone's
is.
looking for more on it, Google will.
Yeah, just Google.
Yeah.
Positive attitude, change your attitude, how attitude affects your life, and there's a lot
There's a
there.
lot of self-help books on attitude.
Exactly, yeah. So you want to know what we're talking about next week?
Think I already have an idea, but you can share.
When leadership fails. Ooh.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. That'll be good.
Yeah, I'm excited to survive that one.
Yeah.
But we will, and it should be good. I've got a really good example that I'm going to use, and hopefully people can relate to that. So anything exciting coming up? Well, yeah, a baby,
Yeah,
duh.
just waiting around.
Just waiting around.
Yeah.
Well, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I had several people come up to me this week. That listen to our podcasts and say, has Marissa had the baby yet? So I know that you're in a
Me
lot of people's thoughts and prayers. And we're looking forward to that day.
too, me too.
So with that, I'm Dave Freund. And
I'm Marissa Norcross.
this was The Next Page.